Hi, you're with Julian on the Brown Note and a review of the new Schoolboy Q album, Blue Lips. And Schoolboy Q is a rapper from, I think, South Los Angeles, Quincy Matthew Hanley, who I actually listened to more than Kendrick Lamar back in the day, as hip-hop people say. I mention that because the Black Hippie Collective that he was part of, Kendrick Lamar was part of, their friends, they've worked together as well. I think, wasn't Schoolboy Q on stage with Kendrick Lamar at Coachella years back, around the time of Damn? And I really did get massively into Schoolboy Q around the second album, Habits and Contradictions, Oxymoron, Blankface. I all featured all three, and I was a huge fan. Hand on the Wheel is one of the top five rap songs this century. Very wrong one, but it's fantastic. I didn't actually notice Crash Talk, but Blue Lips is the sixth studio album by Schoolboy Q, and it actually is a momentous one for me. I feel like the early part of this century. I'm somebody that actually has downstairs Yo Bum Rush the Show from first release on vinyl, and It Takes a Nation of Millions and the De La Soul album all on vinyl downstairs from when I bought them when I was a teenager, because in England you were like the top 40 was one top 40, unlike America where it's like this is a rap chart, this is the modern rock chart. In England it was like everything goes in the same pot, and we heard about rap music a lot earlier than a lot of the mainstream listeners in America. But the early 2000s, I never got into Jay-Z or that era of music, and I hated urban R&B and that whole Usher thing, and I just didn't like that kind of Lil Jon, and I just didn't like any of that shite. But towards the end of that decade, people like Odd Future and Kendrick and Frank Ocean and the Kanye West albums from 2010 on were often masterpieces. But there also was this whole era of 70-minute long, grandiose, full-blooded rap projects with like really interesting producers like Clams Casino and so on. And Kendrick was part of that, Kanye was part of that, Schoolboy Q was part of that. There were quite a few different artists putting out these very long form rap projects that were fantastic. And around 2015, it all kind of tapered off, and it turned into like the Travis Scott world. I like the first two Playboi Carti studio albums a lot. I featured them on my show. But there's very few artists that are that interesting since. And even the big names like Kendrick and Kanye, their recorded output dropped off massively, I think, after like 2016 maybe. And Frank Ocean. So there haven't been these long-form satisfying projects. There have been these Drake albums. Very interesting to see that Kendrick has come out and bashed Drake, which is fantastic. Just in the last couple of days. I fucking hate Drake. Bloody middle class loser. There have been long projects because they game the streaming system. So Drake will release an album with 20 tracks on. So they count up all of the streams and they put that towards their sales and make out that people listening on the radio account to a unit sold. So they, you know, get number one albums when they're just shite 80-minute albums, which Justin Timberlake seems to have gone for in the last few days. This is a harbinger of a potential... Well, it's not a harbinger so much as a retrospective rebirth of those long-form albums. Schoolboy Q was always very, very wide-ranging in the production on his tracks. But I feel like this time around, it's less a disjointed album than a cohesive album where there aren't really any big tracks that stand out necessarily. It just really works, and it's very long. Well, it's 56 minutes long, but a minute on this album, the tracks actually mutate multiple times, and it's very interesting and wide-ranging, yet with a cohesive, almost like a jazzy piano sort of backing through a lot of the music that holds it all together. I saw the opener, Funny Guy. It's got this drifty, dreamy feel and vibe and acoustic strumming. And the album that really sort of referenced to me this album was one of the high points of rap in the last 10 years, which was Danny Brown's Atrocity Exhibition, which is a very avant-garde experimental rock rap album, with people like, you know, referencing Joy Division and Guru Guru, who I am cool enough to even know who that was before he used them on his album as a sample. Both these opening two tracks are prologues. They don't really contain direct to the camera rapping, but the liftoff is Thank God For Me. I'm not going to go through all these tracks, which is fantastic and hooky. Musical background of Blue Slice, Strike 4, has this Bernard Herrmann Taxi Driver vibe to it, which I really love and is quite consistent throughout the album. It continually crops up with this sort of late night bar jazz vibe from Taxi Driver, combined often with things like blast beats, which like doesn't sound like it would go, but it really does work. And the vocals on Blue Slide sound like Sade. It's a really lovely combination. Yearn 101 is fantastic. It's got this like nightmarish sub bass going on. It is definitely an album that is consistent from track to track. It's not an album like Blank Face or something where I felt like there were some big tracks and then filler a bit. I don't feel that here. I feel like they've upped all boats so that there's nothing that really stands head or shoulders over the rest of the album. The album is very consistent and coherent, yet there are wild stylistic turns all the way through, and a track being 2 minutes long is no indication that it's not going to change five times through it. Like Lovebirds featuring Lance Skywalker is an absolute epic track, and there are a lot of tracks here that aren't 2 minute tracks. There are a lot of tracks that sort of bleed out to 4 minutes, but over these 4 minutes it's a total epic. And Moving featuring Cheek or Cheeky is reminding me of YG, and was it DJ Mustard? Reminding me of that kind of flow and sound. Cooties feels, you know, if there's a theme here, it is him living the high life and playing golf and having a nice house and then referencing the past and the trauma of the past. It's probably not that mind-blowing that he would go there given his own past. Ohio, Freddie Gibbs is arguably my favourite rapper of the last 15 years. I've given rave reviews to virtually everything that he's done with one producer alone. And some of the best Bandana and so on, some of the best rap albums and my favourites. And it's a centrepiece, I think. It's a long-form suite. It's got the opening bit almost reminded me of the laid back G-Funk of something like The Chronic, and then it just goes off on various tangents before Freddie gets involved at the end. And this is probably the strongest section of the whole album. Foo featuring Absol is fantastic as well, really, really hooky. Just a fantastic pacing on the album to release some of the bigger, hookier tracks way after the midpoint is fantastic. Back in Love with Devin Malik is fantastic, one of the stickiest hooks on the album. It's got this really sort of dark combination of beats and bass on it, and it's a really good choice on a long form rap album like this that feels like it takes a while to get through, to drop these bigger tracks towards the end. The Germany 86. He was born on Air Force Base in Germany with a military military father. Obviously, an autobiographical track. I saw Time Killers, the use of the alt rockish guitar motif in it was fantastic. Pig Feet, one of the probably standout two or three biggest tracks on the album, featuring Childish Major. It reminded me a bit of Damn era Kendrick Lamar. It's a very sort of big, full, pounding sound. And then it just ends on Smile, which is a shorter sort of interlude-ish track that only lasts just over a minute. I thought this was a fantastic album and the kind of rap album I haven't heard in years. And I didn't even remember that Schoolboy Q had released his last album. So it's going back about 10 years since I really focused heavily on him. And great to see that he has come back with something that no one's doing. I don't want to listen to Travis Scott. I don't care about these people. I don't care about Juice WRLD. I don't care about the emo rappers. I like these long-form old heads doing their thing on a very... And this is his artistic high point. It is not a very good long-form album where there's three or four outstanding tracks. Nothing stands out particularly across this whole album. Each track blends in and foments the groundwork for the next. It's incredibly well put together. It's probably got a dozen producers, I would imagine. I think a dozen is very underestimated, but some of the big ones, Alchemist, there's actually about 30. Can I criticize Beyonce again? I think mainly the rappers involved are most of the producers, so great to see the Alchemist. I wonder what track that was. I'm just going to flick through and see what track the Alchemist, if I can find it. No. It's probably got his real name down. I can't remember it off the top of my head. It is a fantastic album. It's, it could be the album of the year so far for me. I think you would have to have some love of this kind of rap music to enjoy it, because it's not, like I said, with these big standout tracks. But compared to something like the big name Travis Scott albums or something that are very, very long, just so much more interesting and so much more re-listenable. And I think it's a fantastic album. Schoolboy Q on Blue Lips, I'm going to give a 9 out of 10. I think I've only given that to the Smile album, which is fantastic so far this year. So in the probably top two albums of the year, Schoolboy Q, Blue Lips, a 9 out of 10.